listening to Cross the Border, and the name means that I would like you to cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. There is nothing more important in this life than that you obtain eternal life. I mean, really, what is more important than that? This life is short, and eternity is long. I mean, it is forever and ever and ever. So there is nothing in this life that is more important than taking care of the business of forever. And perhaps that is the only reason that our Heavenly Father has granted us this grace period that we call our mortal existence. Adam and Eve, at the beginning, they were told that, or it is written in the King James Version, that they were told that the day you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Well, did they surely die? Yes. Their death sentence was sure. As soon as they ate that fruit, they were saddled with a death sentence. And that death sentence was a sure thing. It was something that they could count on. They received that death sentence. The Heavenly Father gave them a grace period called what we call our mortal existence. We are all born into that condition of mortality. And that is the evidence that we have that this word is true, that we are born into a condition of mortality, and that we're to use this grace period to make sure that we don't miss out on our Creator's provision for our redemption. He became a man. Yahuwah is our salvation. Yahushua means Yahuwah is our salvation. That's what his name means. That's why his name is called the name above every other name, because he has the name of the Creator. There is no name above that of our Creator. He is one and the same. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the Scripture says. That's what I believe. And he laid down his fleshly life, his earthly life, and shed his blood in our place. He paid the price for our sins to provide a way for us. And he gives us all that grace period so that we can choose his plan for redemption, or we can reject his plan for redemption simply by default, or by actually choosing not to take part in it for whatever reasons. And believe me, people have millions of reasons for not taking part in his plan for redemption. We could look at Cain, who said, "No, I want the work of my hands to be adequate." In his pride, he would not accept the Heavenly Father's, the propitiation, the work of Yahushua on the cross for his sins. He did not want to look forward to it. He told the Heavenly Father, "Here's my sacrifice. I bring you the fruit of my labor, the work of my hands, and that's going to be good enough." But it was not good enough, because it would not help him to escape the punishment for his sins. Death, blood is what's required. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. You must, by faith, accept his provision, our Creator's provision, for the punishment, for the redemption. There is no other way. You can pay the price for your own sins, but the problem with that plan is, yes, you can shed your own blood for your own sins, but you will not be able to escape death, because the Messiah, Yahushua, he was able to escape death because he had never sinned. Death had no claim on him. Only by entering into his death and resurrection can our sins be covered by his blood, and we are allowed then to escape because he paid the price for us. His blood has been applied to our account. "For my angel," he says, "shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works." Okay, so if we are practicing pagan rites, even if we try to dress them up in a Christian dress, are we still bowing down to their gods? Yes, we are, unfortunately. Many people have we have forgotten his ways. Is this Old Testament as they teach in the modern corporate church, the state church? Is this Old Testament done away with? Has it been nailed to the cross? Is this this was for the Jews, they say? This wasn't for us, it wasn't for the church. But I've demonstrated that the ecclesia was before and is after. Now we're talking about His Holy Spirit, the leading of His Holy Spirit upon men and prophets, leading them that they were to obey Him. Are we not to obey His Holy Spirit? No, we have the Word, and we go over it and over it in the New Testament, where they talk, every time they talk about the Word of God in the New Testament, they're only referring to the Old Testament, because that was all they had then. They weren't referring to what had not been put together, the New Testament writings. No, this is to the ecclesia. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle. Has heaven and earth passed away? Nope. Until all be fulfilled. Well, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. But did he fulfill all of it? No. He fulfilled the sacrificial part. We don't offer, as a temporary covering, the blood of bulls and goats, because he paid the price once for all. Let's continue in our text here. I will send my fear. Okay, wait a minute. I jumped something there. Okay, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. And I would say that if we bring in heathen practices, we're doing after their works, aren't we? Are we not? But you shall utterly overthrow them. What does utterly overthrow them mean? It means you don't practice any of their practices. You utterly overthrow them so that nothing is left, and quite break down their images. We're not to bring in their images. We're not to bring in Easter bunnies and eggs and the symbol of the matrix, commonly called a heart, and Christmas trees that are specifically prohibited in the Old Testament. We're to break them down. We're to utterly overthrow them, not to do after their works. And you shall serve Yahuwah, your God. We're to serve the Creator, our God. And how do we do that? We utterly overthrow. We quite break down. We don't do after their works and their images. And you shall serve Yahuwah, your God. And he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Why are all these people in the church sick? He promises he would take sickness away from us. Why? Because we're not living according to his laws and his statutes, but we're worshiping according to their images and their works, and we have not utterly overthrown them, but we brought them in. We don't keep his three feast days in the year. We keep pagan feast days. We follow pagan practices and rituals. And then we justify it. Someone brings up the word and says, hey, this isn't according to his word. And then we have all of our little stories and things that have been made up to justify keeping the pagan practices in the ecclesia. And I've heard them all. I've heard them all. I've heard all of the justification, and none of them according to his word, but nice little fanciful stories. Over and over, I've got videos on why we keep Valentine's Day even. And, oh, they're really nice little stories, you know. And we were all bribed as children with presents and gifts and candy. Presents and gifts and candy. Take part in the pagan rituals. Here's a chocolate eggs and you know, sugar candy canes. And look, gifts. We'll give you gifts. Easter baskets and wrapped up little gifts on, you know, Christmas Day. We were bribed as children. It's difficult to let go of those things, is it not? And it's difficult to go against the multitude, is it not? Are we perverting judgment because it goes against what is popular? Are we perverting righteousness? Is our judgment perverted because of the popularity of something? Of course it's popular, especially in the world. People who don't care about his statutes and his judgments, of course they're going to practice these things. It's fun! You know, candy and gifts and eggs and baskets. Oh, boy, what fun. And let's, you know, they want to do that to their children. This is a wonderful time. How can we give this up? You know, oh, you're a killjoy. You're a, you know, you're a Scrooge or whatever. You know, they got all these nice little names for you. If you go, well, this is wrong. I'm reading the word of God here, and it says these things are wrong. Why do we continue to practice them? We are called out. We're to be separate. We are the ecclesia of the ages. From the time of the beginning to now, there's been one ecclesia, one called out people, one remnant in the earth. Are you part of it? Then learn His ways, learn His statutes, learn His judgments, and teach them to your children. And perhaps we can throw off all these wicked things. Well, this is not a popular thing. I can see why not many people listen to this program. And, you know, I just ask the Holy Spirit for a special blessing, all of you people who endure with me going through the Word and take these things to heart, even if they're hard to hear. Yeah, He'll change your mind. He'll change your heart. He'll write His Word upon it, and He will be our God, and we will be His people. And yes, amen, let it be. Hallelujah, let it be. You shall serve Yahuwah your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And I accept that, you know. I accept that blessing. Let my bread and let my water be blessed. And I'll tell you what, by wisdom they are blessed. By following His word, they are blessed. And sickness is taken away from me. I am not sick. You know, yes, I have the curse on me. You know, my body is not going to last forever. I am in a condition of mortality. And I am getting old. And as much wisdom as I use in my diet and what I allow to go, the water in my mouth, that goes in my mouth and the food, I'm still going to die. This mortal flesh still has to be put in the ground. That is true. But I don't have to have parts of my body cut out. I don't have to visit the pharmacia and take 10 drugs a week or any drugs a week. And yes, I could be contaminated. Yes, there are people that are contaminated by, you know, the work they've done or whatever. I can't condemn anybody and say it's your own fault for what you've done. But for the most part, it's because people have not paid attention to His word, that they're enduring suffering in their flesh. And yes, suffering. I have suffering in my life. I have injuries that cause me great pain at times, and at times that even cripple me so that it's hard to walk and hard to move around. This is true. This is the condition of our mortality, the condition of the curse upon us. But without wisdom, without following His word, it's only going to be worse. Our suffering is only going to be worse. There's no escape from suffering. That's the honest truth. I have to admit that. There is no escape from the condition of our mortality. But with wisdom, it can be better. And if we teach our children, it can be better for them. For those of us that are old and are older, or elderly even. I'm not elderly yet. But if I live long enough, I will be elderly. And that'll be a blessing too. And the longer I live, the longer I can serve Him in this mortality, well, I'm satisfied with that. As long as He's satisfied to keep me here and to keep me serving Him. And when I can no longer serve Him, well, I would just as soon retire. You know, retire this mortal tent, this temporary dwelling place that I live in, this vehicle, my mortal flesh that I'm traveling in. I'd just soon retire it when I can no longer serve Him or serve His purpose. So, yeah, yes, bless Yahuwah and bless His name all of my days and all of my life. Let us all say hallelujah. It says, He shall take sickness away from the midst of thee. I accept that. For as long as I live in this mortal flesh, let it be so. There shall nothing cast their young, nor barren, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. So there shall nothing cast their young. And that's, of course, talking about losing a child in the womb, miscarriage. nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. And, yeah, if we follow his ways, then this should be the result. Of course, today, the heathen teach the opposite, that, you know, the children are a curse, even though they say they do everything for the children. But by their practice of birth control and abortion, the opposite is seen to be true, that they actually hate children. And of course, we know where that hatred of mankind comes from. It comes from the enemy of mankind. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Well, I receive that too. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. And that means he's going to make their enemies run. Of course, now he's specifically talking about the children of Israel going into Canaan, crossing the river. And like I said, though most of these people, this generation, will pass away. But he says, he told them to be circumspect and to apply these things to their life in a circumspect way. And as we discussed, that meant that even if you didn't have a field to let it rest in 7 years, that you should give a seventh. To apply this circumspectly, that's what it meant. To take these, it's like the ox falling into the ditch metaphor. You know, while the scribes and the Pharisees, they did not apply that circumspectly, that they condemned the poor when he walked through the field and plucked an ear from the stalk, and they called it work, and they would condemn a man for breaking the Sabbath thereby. They weren't applying it circumspectly, were they? Or healing on the Sabbath, as our Master did. They would condemn him, but our Heavenly Father did not, because he required them to apply it circumspectly. And if they did that, then they would not have come up with rules to break or make the law of God of no effect. And borrowing a phrase there that King James wrote as being quoted from our Master, that they, by their traditions, they nullified the law of God. They did not apply it circumspectly, but they became legalistic and wrote laws and wrote statutes and their own code in the Talmud and other writings, the traditions of the elders, they were called, to get around his law and to make it a legalistic thing about the washing of hands and so forth. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee that shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Now this is their instruction for going into the land. And all of this is being recorded by Moses and his scribes. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. You know, we can do this on a micro scale today, in our own houses, in our own homes, and in our own ecclesia. These are the things that we need to apply to our life, because basically, we are the strangers now in Egypt. We are the strangers in a strange land. We are the strangers in Rome, in the land of Egypt today, because we see what is being practiced around us. We see that the children of this nation have been utterly overthrown. The ecclesia, or the semblance, what is left of it, as was the scribes, the Pharisees, in the time of Yahushua, they were totally in bed with the state. They had married themselves to the state. They even exclaimed that we have our position and we're going to lose it if we follow this Yahushua, if we follow the prophet, the messenger. And that's why they slew the prophets and that were sent to them, because they were serving another god, the god of the state. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea. We read that, verse 32, you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. We are not to make a covenant with the state or their gods. You know, I had a chance, an opportunity, to go to the state capital here in the land where I live, designated California. And, of course, they have the state of California, which is an image. And the seat of the state of California is Sacramento, of course. What a fitting name, because it is religious. And going up there, I noticed that they have the images of their gods plastered all over everything. And on the seal of the great state, of course, when I say, I'm not referring to the land California, I'm referring to the state of California, that image that people breathe and they give life to this image. The state of California, you know, that all caps image, it kind of floats above the land. And of course, they have their policy enforcers going about to land to breathe life into this image and to act as its hands and its feet and to serve the image. And that's what they're doing. There's the servants of the image. And they have their gods all over everything, all over their buildings. And all of this Roman architecture. And it really takes you back to a biblical time. And on their great seal of the state of California, they have the goddess Minerva. So their god is a goddess, and they are goddess worshippers. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto you. Sobering words in light of the truth. You shall make no covenant. How many covenants do you... I've made plenty of covenants with them. And I did it all ignorantly. Because I was schooled in that. I was raised up, taught to serve their gods. To make covenants with their gods. But I've thrown off all those things. He says, come out and be separate. If you're a slave and you can be made free, that you should use it. And we all have that opportunity in this land. It may be uncomfortable, and it may cost us dearly, because much riches have come by covenants with their gods. Cross the border into his kingdom. Come out and be separate. That's what I say. We'll be back after these messages.